across South Africa, online and on radio. SAFM, let's talk.
It is 24 minutes after 5 o'clock. In conversation next with Marika Keller, who is a researcher at Amnesty International South Africa. So Amnesty International South Africa has just launched the third phase of its gender-based violence campaign called Interrupt Broken Promises. Through this campaign, the organization is arguing that President Cyril Ramaphosa's government continues to fail women in the country who continue to face horrendous crimes against them with little to no action from the country's duty bearers. Marika, good afternoon and thank you so much for making time for us. Has there really been no progress at all? Just a few moments ago, we were in conversation with Michael Bragem about the good practice on the prevention and elimination of harassment in the workplace. So there is something that's being done.
Hi, Aldrin, and yes, thank you for having me today. Aldrin, there are things that are being done. When we look at policies and laws that are being amended, just earlier this year, President Ramaphosa signed three new pieces of legislation into law. We also saw the passing of the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide 2-3 years ago now. The problem in South Africa is that we have these amazing progressive laws and policies that are in place, but we are not seeing their implementation. So even with the National Strategic Plan on Gender-Based Violence and Femicide, which was adopted in 2019, and is the main focus of our Interrupt Broken Promises campaign, we are seeing through the analysis of the first year of its implementation that the majority of targets that were set have not been met. Mm-hmm. And these are the promises that we are calling on and are stating that are broken by our government.
Yeah, and from the perspective of the criminal justice system, and more specifically focusing on the courts and how quickly the courts are able to process cases, what have you found there?
There are numerous issues with our criminal justice system. I mean, if we start with the South African Police Service, is that generally there is a lack of quality in the investigations, and that's the first rate of attrition. So that's where the majority of cases fall through the cracks, because they can't prosecute cases if the quality of the investigation isn't enough for prosecution. So the majority of cases then don't even make it to the prosecution stage or to the courts in the first place. But then once they're on the courts, there's a number of bias, like a number of issues within the National Prosecuting Authority as well on the prosecution side, including the judiciary as well, where, for example, harmful attitudes, biases, gender norms, etc., do prevent cases from not being followed through to conviction stage. So victims being blamed, for example, for being raped. And that is very evident throughout the court proceedings as well. So the criminal justice system is one element, and that was the second phase of Amnesty International South Africa's GBV campaign called the Interrupt Justice System campaign that we had last year, where we looked specifically at the criminal justice system and the failings within that.
Yeah, and what you're listing now also with the hashtag Interrupt Broken Promises is the issue around the DNA backlog as well, which of course also plays quite a crucial role in the prosecution of some of these cases.
Absolutely. So in the National Strategic Plan on GBV and Femicide, one of the targets was to reduce the DNA backlog for GBV-specific cases from 16,000 to 5,000 cases by March 2020. But what we saw instead was that this skyrocketed to 82,000 instead during that same period. And we're currently still sitting with a backlog of 52,000 cases. And one of the calls that we're making through our campaign is for this backlog to be completely cleared by the end of September 2022, which is also in line with the commitment Minister Sele made just about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And then the final one would be when it comes to children and the ability of children to also report cases, because remember that there was that report that was released, I think it was sometime last year, a number of kids who were impregnated during the COVID period. And the type of conversation that should be happening there as well, because most of the times when we have conversations about femicide as well as gender-based violence, it's looked through the glance or the lens of an adult. However, though, we also have children who remain vulnerable.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And what we saw with those cases that you've mentioned now is that there were so many that were under the age of consent, so under the age of 12. And then those cases, those would be cases of rape because they cannot consent to consensual sex. And that requires a multifaceted approach as well. And since then, the Department of Basic Education has also released a policy on teenage pregnancy as well. And it requires intervention with parents, with the school, with the Department of Social Development. Again, it's a multifaceted approach that requires interdepartmental coordination. And that's not what we're seeing either, though. Departments tend to work in silos. They, again, produce policies with very little implementation. And so the hope with this new policy that was developed on teenage pregnancies, the hope is that that would then also be implemented. The other concern is that a lot of teenage girls are refused to attend school, which is also against the law. Mm. And the hope is with this policy that that would also be rectified because it has a severe and detrimental effect on their education.
Thank you so much for your time, Marika Kalleder, researcher at Amnesty International South Africa. It's 5:30, time for the news headlines.